You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. In Placer County, a support group for LGBTQ plus youth and parents has become the center of a heated debate about what it means to create a safe space for queer children. Roseville Joint Unified High School District cut ties with The Landing Spot, a non-religious support group led by Pastor Casey Tinnen, following a video released by Project Veritas. On its website, Project Veritas calls itself a nonprofit journalism enterprise, but they're also known as a right-wing group that conducts hidden video stinks. The video that we're talking about was an edited interview with Pastor Tinnen at what appears to be a restaurant, framing his work as dangerous. In a statement, Pastor Tinnen says in part that two Project Veritas activists masqueraded as parents seeking help and support for their transgender child and proceeded to illegally record their conversation and then edit it to discredit the church. Following the release, Roseville Joint Unified made the decision to share the video in a district wide email sent to families, disclosing that they not only cut ties with The Landing Spot, but they also alerted Roseville Police and Child Protective Services. All of this prompted a passionate school board meeting on Thursday, where more than 100 students and adults packed the room, speaking for and against the district's decision. We're going to hear from the school board president for Roseville Joint Unified in just a moment. But first, The Landing Spot was actually a guest on Insight last summer on the heels of Roseville becoming the site of the first ever Pride Festival in Placer County. So we're going to begin by listening back to part of that conversation. First, we'll start off with Alex, who at the time was a current youth member.
A place like The Landing Spot is very much important to a place like Placer County. And I think one of the major reasons for that is due to the fact that Placer County is mostly comprised of a lot of conservative people, which can also comprise of a lot of non-LGBT friendly people. The reason why I went there was just because of the fact that, like, I felt lost at a time, because during the school I was in, I got beat up and I got food thrown at me and I felt lost and I didn't know where to go. And then my mom, bless her soul, she was basically like saying, there's this area called The Landing Spot that you can head to. And it was one of the best decisions I have made. I've met so many wonderful people. I've met Pastor Casey. I've met my current boyfriend. And I've met just all these other new people, all these other brilliant minds. And just being a part of a place like that is so important to me.
And that is Alex, who was a current youth member of The Landing Spot when he joined Insight last summer back in June. He was also joined by Susan, a parent of The Landing Spot, to share how it shaped the relationship that she has with her son.
He's transgender, and when he came out to us, I didn't know what to do or where to go as a parent. You don't know what you don't know until you need to know it. And so I had heard of The Landing Spot because of my son. I looked up online, found Pastor Casey, and he immediately helped get me resources. We also have a parents group, so parents can come in and get support and find out how to walk this new path that they might not have expected to be a part of. And the growth that I saw with my son, it gave him the confidence. It was like the child, I didn't know who I was missing. There was a piece of my child that wasn't there. And as he grew and as he transitioned and he became himself, it's like this whole new person arrived that I didn't realize wasn't there. So just the camaraderie and the support, the parents group is so vital to walk into those very first meetings scared to death and not knowing anything about the path you're on, and to look into the eyes of other parents who walked that path and they're in your shoes too.
And that was a conversation that we had here on Insight last summer with a Placer County student and parent of The Landing Spot, a non-religious support group for LGBTQ plus youth created by Pastor Casey Tinnen. Okay, so now that we have a good foundation about what we're diving into and talking about, we're going to learn more about Roseville Joint Unified's decision to cut ties with The Landing Spot. Joining us now is school board president Pete Constant. Thank you for making the time.
Oh, thank you for having me. And good morning, Vicky.
Good morning. Okay, so the school board meeting last week on Thursday was heated, to say the least. It was very passionate. You and your colleagues attempted to allow everyone who wanted to speak to actually be able to take part in public comment. You almost achieved that. But the meeting, after going on for about 95 minutes, it abruptly ended when arguments broke out, with eight speakers remaining. You've had the weekend now to reflect. What was the big message that you took away?
Well, I think it's first important to say that the board really did want to hear from every single person. And as you know, it's rare, in fact, probably extremely unique that in what we did in stopping our meeting, putting aside all normal business and telling the community we want to hear from you and dedicating the entire meeting with no limits on time to provide the community to talk to us. You know, it's really unfortunate that in these times we have folks who just are not tolerant of other people's viewpoints. It was very difficult to watch folks on both sides of the issue speak over, boo, hiss, and try and stop other people's speech. And I think a lot of times people forget that school boards are an extension of the government, and we have an obligation to protect the rights of every single person to come and petition their government. I mean, it's one of our core foundations of our government, the First Amendment, the right to petition your government, the right to have your voice heard. And we tried to provide that. And like you said, we did it. Unfortunately, only 8 people didn't get a chance to speak before the meeting sort of went off the rails. But in addition to providing that foundation and that forum for free speech, we also have to ensure that we don't let things get out of hand and that we maintain decorum. And we simply couldn't continue the meeting given the emotions that had gotten so high.
Given that the video, the subject of this conversation was about the video from Project Veritas, and it was a highly edited interview, it also had a point of view. Why did the district make the decision to share it with families? Did you reach out to Pastor Tinnen beforehand?
Well, I want to tell you, we did not share the video with families. That's one of the many falsehoods that is being put out there in this discussion. It's important to know that our district paused our work and stopped our relationship with the landing spot back on February 15th, weeks before this video came out. And it was completely unrelated to the concerns that have arisen. What we had found as a board is and the administration, the landing spot had become operating on our schools for a number of years, but it was an informal relationship at first and started at one school and moved to many sites. And what we had found is two things. One is that we didn't have an operating agreement or a memorandum of understanding that's required when we have organized groups working on our campus and working directly with our students. And that was an issue we wanted to make sure that we rectified. But we also had found out, and I know you had mentioned it in your opening comment as well, the landing spot had told us that they were a nonprofit, non-religious organization. When in fact, they don't have that status. There is no separate organization of the landing spot legally from the church. So it is a religious organization. They may be operating some of their activities in a non-religious fashion, but they don't yet have a 501c3 nonprofit for the landing spot. And that poses some issues with us as well in the issues of having a religious organization have an established relationship on our campus with our students. So we were working on those, and that's what really caused the stop of the relationship. And then this video came up.
So can you clarify something for me? This was on the Nextdoor Roosevelt feed. It said RJUHSD families, a message, and then saying that the district, and this is when they brought up the video. And then I believe the bottom of it says John Becker, superintendent, Pete Constant, board president, which is you. So the video wasn't shared by the district or wasn't alerted to families?
Well, I think we referenced the video, but there's a distinct difference between referencing the existence of a video, which you have to understand was the result of hundreds of people contacting the school district concerned about the video. That's distinctly different than sharing the video and promoting a video or a viewpoint from Project Veritas. The school district never did that.
Got it. Thank you for that. By my rough count, all the people that you listened to on Thursday, there was like roughly 45 people who took part in public comment. The majority were adults, but the school board and you chose to start with students first so they can get to their homework. So we're going to listen to part of what 3 students had to say in the order that they addressed you and the rest of the school board.
When people decide to spread hate, our solution shouldn't be to remove everything that elicits that reaction. Our reaction shouldn't be to ban books, limiting students' educations, and shielding them from reality and robbing them of their safe spaces. Students are in high school for 4 years, and it is unrealistic to send them into a world where they think that whenever they are met with conflict and hate, they should surrender to it and appease to the cruelty of these people. This is what we've seen from the district.
It is crazy to me that we cannot even have students on the panel today at this meeting because of the unsafe environment that, frankly, I should not even be in right now. I had multiple warnings of going to this board meeting today because of the groups that would be here today. I want all of our schools to accept and welcome every student who walks through our doors, regardless of race, gender, and sexuality. I want to set up the tone for the rest of the public comment by saying, let's keep this environment safe, respectful, and accepting. We have kids in this room. So if you want to protect our children, let's keep our comments appropriate. I do not want to be scared being in this room today. Thank you.
And I know I'm not going to change the world here, so I'm not going to try to. Instead, I am asking for anyone, anywhere, just to listen. I am 17 years old and queer, and I want to tell every single other queer person something. You don't deserve this. You don't deserve the few resources you have to be taken away from you. I know what it is like to be unsafe at school. A pride flag was burnt last year, and this district did effectively nothing to make us feel safer. I had to fight for 2 years to get a bathroom that I wouldn't get beat up in. In my time in this district, I tried to kill myself 4 times because I didn't feel welcome or loved or safe. I am lucky to have a family who loves every single piece of me. Not everyone is. I graduated early school last semester, not because of incredible grades or intelligence, but because I was tired of going to war instead of school every day. The Landing Spot and organizations like it are not grooming children. They are giving us a break from constantly fighting and trying to find our place in a world that has made it abundantly clear that they will not make space for us. This district can be a safe place, but it is not yet. You have the choice to make it one. Listen to me. If you are queer, I love you. I love you so much. Whatever the other people are going to say, pay it no mind. We deserve so much better than this, and you have the ability to make it happen. So I am begging you, please.
School Board President Constant, you are also a parent of 5 children at Roseville Joint Unified Schools. The children that you just heard from, they're telling you that they don't feel safe or supported. Are they right?
Well, everyone's right in their own feelings, so I would never challenge that. There's a few things that concern me. You heard the first speaker talk about book banning, and that's another one of those things that unfortunately is a fallacy, that our district has never banned a book. We've never even had it on the agenda, yet every meeting people come and accuse us of banning books, and it's unfortunate that those type of things happen. We still have and are committed to maintaining wellness centers at every one of our high schools. We have licensed therapists on staff in our wellness centers. We have resources that are available that we refer students out to every single day. The Landing Spot was one of those resources that isn't there right now, but all of the other resources are there. We are doing our best to meet the needs of every student, students of the LGBTQA plus community, students in other communities. We have stated a firm commitment to that. The message that you referred to also indicated that. We've put that out a number of times to our community. Hmm.
There were also parents who spoke at the board meeting with personal experience as well, attending the Landing Spot. We're going to listen just to one. There were so many people, but we're going to listen to a father who was not talking about his views on it, but was critical about how the district alerted families.
I'm a parent of a student and also was involved with the Landing Spot. When I read the email that was sent out from the district, I was both horrified and concerned that my child had either been subjected to abuse or exposed to illegal activity of some sort. For the district to call Roseville Police Department and Child Protective Services, I was convinced something horrific had taken place on campus through the Landing Spot. After reading the district's email, I immediately contacted the superintendent. And when I did not receive anything back after 24 hours, I emailed Mr. Constant, Mr. Becker, and other folks in the district to find out what type of abuse my child had been exposed to. Fortunately, yesterday afternoon, I received a call from Mr. Hastie at the district explaining to me what had happened. His information settled my nerves, as it was clear that any allegations of abuse or grooming were unfounded upon and unsubstantiated. With this said, I have seen nothing but positive come out of the Landing Spot and their support of both my wife and my child. I am horrified that the district would put out a statement that would insinuate that abuse had been taking place, all the while knowing that the claims were false and came from a group of individuals that have a different ideology than that of the Landing Spot.
Why did the district call Roseville Police and Child Protective Services?
Well, first, I would say reread that announcement we made, because there was no indications that we made allegations of abuse or grooming or anything like that. However, we do have a very close relationship with Roseville Police Department. We have police officers on our campuses in the city of Roseville, as well as Sacramento County and Placer County sheriffs on our campuses, on schools in those jurisdictions. We received, as I mentioned, a number of emails, a large number of emails from parents that were concerned with what they had seen in the videos. We merely advised the police department and CPS of these concerns that parents had been contacting us and said, quite frankly, this is not an area for our school district to make any objective conclusions from. If you believe there's something to follow up on, we're just letting you know that this happened. We have a longstanding relationship of doing things like that whenever there's anything outside of our purview.
It was also shared that the landing spot has received bomb threats. Families affiliated with the church say they've received death threats. Pastor Tinnen himself says Proud Boys have been outside of his home. Does any of this concern you?
Well, it's all concerning to me. The behavior of people is, in this instance, abhorrent. I mean, there's no reason that anyone should threaten violence upon anyone for any reason. The school district, as you know, had nothing to do with this video. What happened with Project Veritas and their distribution of the video and the reaction of people to that video is far outside the control of our school district. We don't condone it. We don't encourage it. We condemn that behavior. It should never happen in our community, no matter what your viewpoints are on any subject.
Finally, what would you say to LGBTQ plus students and their families within your district following all that has unfolded?
Well, I think it's important to know that they are welcome in our community. They always have been. They always will be. We will continue to provide supports for them. Many of us have members of their communities in our own family. We feel for them. Our heart goes out to them. We're here to help. The school district is just a bystander in a lot of this misinformation that has been going on and the unfortunate circumstances around the Project Veritas video. But I hope the district did convey that we do listen to all of our constituents. We want to hear from everyone. If a student is feeling unsafe, it's imperative they come to the office, go to the wellness center, notify a trusted adult at our school. We want to make sure they have the supports and the safety for them to not only succeed in life, but be safe at school while they're with us.
With hindsight, would you change anything that how the district handled this?
Well, I would love it if the video had never come out. But unfortunately, as many people who are upset on one side of the issue for the way we communicated, there's people on the other side just as upset by the way we communicated. We have 10,500 plus students in our district, 20,000 parents and about 200,000 residents that live within our district. We just do our best to make sure that our students are safe, and we're focusing on educating our students. And we're going to continue to do that every day.
Mr. Constant, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you for having me.
Pete Constant is the school board president for Roseville Joint Unified. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. We're now going to bring in CAP Radio Sacramento Communities reporter Janelle Salonga. Good morning, Janelle.
Hey, Vicki. How's it going?
It is going good. Okay, so you followed the school board meeting last week as well. But outside of Roseville Joint Unified, there's also a larger debate that's happening across the state, across the country, when it comes to creating safe spaces for LGBTQ plus youth. What is the bigger picture that's taking place?
Well, I think one component of it is this idea of, you know, a divided understanding between where, who has agency in a family and over, you know, what decisions are kind of made. So, for example, some parents might feel like they're the final authority on their kids' decisions, like at least before they turn 18 and potentially after. So, you know, viewing children as a blank slate, you know, wanting to share with them, you know, your views and kind of impart those as the best views on life, whereas some other parents may provide more freedom to their kids to have agency over their own decisions. Even if there is kind of a division in what some parents believe and what their kids believe, just recognizing that, you know, those divisions of belief are also rooted in the fact that each person kind of knows themselves best. And this is also a little bit Or this kind of discussion is also taking place against the backdrop of just growing rise of anti-trans legislation in the country. You know, not necessarily in California, but just in general, there have been close to 500 bills introduced this year alone that would cause varying degrees of harm to trans people if passed.
And we heard from students and parents who are concerned about the safety of queer students and their families, but there were also passionate comments supporting the district's decision to cut ties with the support group, even go further by calling police and or alerting police and CPS. But these are, you know, all of these are taking place within the same school board meeting. Do these polarized views go beyond just one school district?
Definitely. I mean, also in Placer County, the Western Placer Unified School District, where volunteers from the landing spot occasionally also worked with students at one specific school, like they cut ties with the landing spot as well after the video was released, citing parent concerns. And obviously, you know, President Constant just laid out that the circumstances that led his district to cut ties with the landing spot were a little different than, you know, the Western Placer Unified School District. So there is a distinction there. But in general, you know, like he said, these discussions represent discussions that are taking place across the country.
Given that we dove into what's happening at Roseville Joint Unified, that's in Placer County, but there's other districts that at least optically, they're going in a different direction. You recently went to Sac City Unified, which raised the trans flag. What did you learn about the district's decision to do this?
Yeah, so the district decided to do that in honor of Trans Week of Visibility, which the board confirmed via resolution at a board meeting earlier this month. And that resolution creating that week was the first in the district's history in advance of Trans Day of Visibility, which is later this week on March 31st. And so the city actually also passed a resolution announcing Trans Week of Visibility in Sacramento the day after. But, you know, other districts and schools have raised the trans flag before. For example, in California, San Diego Unified School District. But this is the first time in the Sacramento region that this has happened. And, you know, though, for example, like the gay pride flag, which is the rainbow flag that is really common throughout the region or just in general, during June, which is Pride Month, has been raised before. Choosing to raise specifically the trans flag is, you know, a very direct statement of support from the district for, you know, standing in solidarity with its trans students amid that growing rise of anti-trans legislation across the country that I mentioned earlier. And so, you know, here's Sac City Unified School Board President Chinua Rhodes on what it meant to raise the flag.
We're all here today in solidarity and the understanding that every student deserves to be seen, that every student deserves to be supported, and that every student deserves to be loved. And this is especially important for students who are historically most vulnerable. Our district's Trans Day of Visibility effort is a signal to our commitment and the commitment of our board to be inclusive, to be equitable minded, and be centered with our communities in our hearts.
Finally, Janelle, what do you want listeners to take away from this conversation and what's happening at school districts across Northern California?
Yeah, I mean, this is a conversation really about what safety looks like and whose ideas of safety, you know, are getting prioritized. I would ask, you know, people to consider, you know, some of the power dynamics at play here, like historically, who's had power in kids' lives, in society and in the country, and what has, you know, the quote unquote normal looked like, and what kinds of harm, you know, can occur to people who exist outside of that.
Janelle, thank you so much for the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Vicky.
Janelle Salonga is Cap Radio's Sacramento Communities reporter. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.